Screams from forward told Captain Fisher Kraken had just taken another hit. That was the fourth, and whatever her other qualities might have been, Fisher's ship had never been designed and built as a true warship. In some ways, her thinner scantlings actually worked in her favor, since they tended to produce fewer and smaller splinters than the heavier sides of a warship. On the other hand, they also offered negligible resistance to the round shot slamming into her, and he'd already had at least 7 men killed and twice that many wounded.
"Which is less than we've cost the bastards,"
he thought with savage satisfaction. Kraken's broadside and bulwark-mounted wolves had caught the pair of Delphiraken launches headed for her completely by surprise. The wolves alone probably would have been enough to slaughter the launch crews, but the 12 30-pounder carronades in her port broadside, sweeping the water with double charges of grapeshot, had reduced the launches themselves to splintered driftwood. There'd been no survivors from either of them. Nor had Kraken been idle since. She was the only Carisian ship in the entire harbor which could truly be considered armed, and she could only be in one place at a time, but she'd intercepted and slaughtered boarding parties headed for 2 other anchored galleons, and her own boarding parties had retaken 3 more. Fisher had too few men to divert to still more boarding parties without depleting his gun crews or dangerously weakening Kraken's own ability to stand off boarding attempts. But in addition to the 5 ships her direct intervention had saved, 3 more had managed to join up with her. All of them had at least a few wolves, enough to discourage any more boat crews from trying to get alongside them, now that their crews knew what was happening at any rate. And Fisher had taken his own ship in as close to the waterfront batteries as he dared, scourging their embrasures with grapeshot in an effort to suppress their fire while other Carisian ships tried to fight their way out of the chaos closer in. It didn't look as if very many of them were going to make it. A 3rd galleon caught fire, and Fisher's teeth ached from the pressure of his jaw muscles. He had no idea who'd set the flames aboard any of those ships, but, unlike the seamen of most other nations, who had a tendency to sink like stones in deep water, Carisian seamen, by and large, swam like fish. Kraken had already recovered at least a dozen swimmers from the harbor water, and their gasped-out fragmentary accounts, plus the number of bodies Fisher himself had seen floating in the flame-mirrored harbor, made it horrifyingly clear what was going on aboard the beleaguered merchantman. Even if they hadn't, he'd been close enough to see one of the galleons himself silhouetted against the flames beyond her as Delphiraken boarders dragged struggling Carisians to the side of their ship. Blades had flashed in the fuming glare, and then the suddenly limp, no longer struggling bodies had splashed into the water like so much refuse.
"That's it, sir!"
Kevin Edwards shouted almost in his ear. Fisher looked at him, and Kraken's first officer grimaced.
"No one else is getting out of that, sir,"
Edwards said, waving one arm at the chaos, violence, and flames roaring along the wharves.
"It's time to go!"
Fisher wanted to argue, to reject Edwards' evaluation, but he couldn't. There were too many Delphiraken troops swarming over the galleons tied up at dockside. For that matter, most of the anchored Carisian merchantmen had already been taken by boated boarders as well. Kraken and the 8 ships following in her wake were the only escapees he could see, and the others weren't going to make it to sea without Kraken's continued protection.
"You're right," he admitted. "Shape a course for Spider Crab Shoal. We'll take the main channel."
Captain McNeil paced slowly, steadily back and forth along the aftercastle rail, hands clasped behind him as he wondered how things were working out in Farade. If everything had gone according to schedule and as planned, then every Carisian ship in the harbor had been taken hours ago. Of course, things very seldom did go according to schedule, and as planned, did they? He grimaced at the thought, then glanced up at the steadily lightening sky to the east. It was only an indistinct, featureless gray, for the clouds he'd observed the night before had thickened and spread, until only a thin band of clear, starry sky remained visible along the southern horizon. The wind had picked up as well, raising whitecaps as it came rolling across Ferade Sound and swung a little farther around to the north. Arrowhead's motion was markedly rougher than it had been, with a hard, bouncing pitch as she plowed into the wind, and the first drops of rain had pattered down across the galley's upper decks almost 2 hours ago. At least it wasn't still raining at this particular moment, but visibility wasn't going to be very good, even after the sun came up, and he grunted unhappily as he admitted that to himself. "If any of the bastards did get away, we'll probably be seeing them sometime in the next few hours," he thought. "Although exactly what we're supposed to do if there's more than one or two of them at a time eludes me." He snorted in unwilling, ironic amusement, then gave himself a shake. At least there ought to be time to get the men fed before anything exciting happened.